Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about living your Catholic faith, your faith in Jesus, and your everyday ordinary life, especially through the lens of good books. Today, we're going to be talking with author Keaton Douglas. Her new book, out from Our Sunday Visitor, is The Road to Hope, Responding to the Crisis of Addiction. And again, that's from Our Sunday Visitor. Keaton, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Allison. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled that we could have this opportunity to talk. Your message, your work, your book is in a very, very important topic. But before we dive into The Road to Hope, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. I've had an interesting journey, Allison. It's not been a very straight journey towards this path. I was an entertainer for many, many years. Yeah, I'm a singer, and I've sung all over the world and had some great opportunities to sing with wonderful musicians, and was really having a journeyman's career. You know, I'm the great singer that no one ever heard of, that's at all events and whatnot like that, but really it was a blessing. And I was doing it, and I had a two-year-old son, and unfortunately I had the unexpected demise of my first marriage. And it left me very, very angry and resentful. And I went through a period of time where I actually left the church. I was a cradle Catholic. I was born in the church, raised in the church, considered myself a Catholic, but never really had relationship, you know, with our Lord. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm right there with you. Same journey. Got
same
you.
Journey, right? You got me. So I was very angry at this point, you know, that everything I thought I had done correctly. And now my life was in shambles, and I just was not there for God. I was very angry with God. Yeah. And I existed that way for about 8 years, filled with resentment, filled with anger, you know, over this break. And then God gave me an unexpected moment of forgiveness. That is a story in itself for another day, a big one. But in that single moment, I was able to drop that burden of unforgiveness that I had carried with me for so many years, kind of like a poisonous snake that lived inside me. You know, it was just like, and then it was gone. So at that point, I started to get called back to the faith, like in a profound way, like through prayer, through the rosary. And really, I got close to Mother. Here she is behind me, always over my shoulder. And it was because of really my relationship with Mary that she brought me to the foot of the cross with her so that I could know her son as well as I do today. And I wanted to know, who is this God that is calling me back? And I wound up going to a school of theology at Seton Hall University in New Jersey. Got my master's, didn't know what I was going to do with it. But at this point, people were noticing a change in me. You know, you can see I was not that angry person anymore. I was like, I wanted to love, and I was kind, and I was really trying to go out of my way for people. And so I became like the toast of a lot of Rosary Society breakfasts, talking about my healing, my spiritual healing through our Catholic faith. And one day I was invited to speak with women who were on retreat, and they were women in recovery from heroin addiction. And I remember walking in that day, and I said, what do they want to hear from me for? I literally had never smoked marijuana once in my life. And I thought, they're not going to find me relevant. I was afraid of rejection.
Right. That makes sense.
You know? And so the gentleman that was running it, he said to me, do you think that there's nothing that they can learn from you? And I was like, I guess. And he said, do you think there's nothing that you can learn from them? And that was my
joke.
I was like, because I had not
mind blown
about that. So I get up and I start telling my story and my whole life, and I'm crying, and when I'm crying, they're crying, and when I'm laughing, they're laughing, and at the end, we're hugging each other, and I thought to myself, they had taught me the most important lesson, which is that we all get broken from different things, but we all get broken, and it is the commonality of our brokenness which binds us together.
Oh, that's so powerful.
And it is. It is that we are mutually wounded, that we can be mutually healed. And I began, I believe, by the grace of God, by divine intervention, to see, I saw those women not as people that were suffering from addictions, but I saw them as broken women as I had been. Yeah, and so we bonded, that we had so much more in common than we didn't. I remember telling my parish priest the next day all about it, and telling him about this euphoria that I had experienced in the car on the way home. I was like, What wow. is this? And he said to me, Keaton, I think you've been called. And, you know, Allison, I was like, called? I was like, you know, I'm in theology school. Isaiah gets called. Like, there are call narratives throughout scripture, and I can't yeah. believe I'm one of them. And my parish priest said to me, everybody gets called, Keaton, but not everybody listens. And that began my journey. True. Isn't it true? That began my journey of working with folks that were suffering from addictions and their families. I felt that God put me in that spot. And my whole life just started to change. And I wound up taking over that ministry. I became wow. a participant. I wound up taking it over and then expanding it to what we know as I Thirst today.
That is incredible. And I think you make a really beautiful point that I just want to pause on there for a minute, that everybody is called and not everybody listens. I have often said this about the vocation of priesthood. Yeah. I don't believe that God is calling less men right. to priesthood. I feel like there's these barriers and these obstacles that are yeah. preventing more from saying yes. But I've never really thought of that in the lay way, in the laity, into the every human being has
That's
a call.
Right. That's right.
And that God moves our heart towards it. Yeah. And it's our responsibility to answer yes to it. And I think it's not an easy thing to do, but I think what you said that really struck me was that prayer.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be praying every single day. It's not just 1 hour a week. That's the kind of Catholic right. I was. Like yeah. I was away from the church. I had my reversion moment. I came back, but right. I still only did the 1 hour a week.
Right.
And didn't know why I wasn't getting anything out of this faith, right. why nothing was changing. But it's just so powerful when you're praying, when you're open to God's movement, what he can do. And what he has done with you, Keaton, is just incredible. We're talking today with Keaton Douglas. Her new book, The Road to Hope, Responding to the Crisis of Addiction, out now from Our Sunday Visitor. And I did see, and I think this is really amazing, that the first printout, you ran out. You're in your second printing. That's an incredible feat in the first like month or so a book.
We were sold out before the release date. We were sold out in pre-order.
You know, that it says both, it's a sad statement of where our world is, but it's a hopeful statement yeah. that so many people want help or That's want right. to help somebody right. that they saw this resource and grabbed it.
That's
I
right.
think that is so beautiful. So tell us about The Road to Hope, this beautiful new book that you have created, again, through Our Sunday Visitor.
It was born out of the work that we have been doing out of the iThirst Initiative. So let me tell you a little bit about that. When I took over that ministry that I had stepped into that beautiful day, about 3 or 4 years after that moment, I said to my mentors who had now gone off on sabbatical and whatnot, I said to them, and this, by the way, they are members of the Missionary Servants of the Most Holy Trinity. That's a community of priests and brothers wow. founded 100 years ago by a Vincentian priest who believed that we had a responsibility to serve the poor and the abandoned and to preserve the faith amongst them. Prophetically, he understood that amongst those that were poor and abandoned were those that were suffering from addictions early on. So this priestly community, priests and brothers, have been working on the front lines with those who are suffering from addictions and their families for more than 100 years. So my arrival there and their embracing me and allowing me to take it over this ministry and to expand it really is part of their mission now. It's now a mission of the Missionary Servants. So big shout out to them for being, you know, so wise and seeing that there's a real yeah. need for this. You know, so I said to my mentors, I said, if we believe at its root, that this is a spiritual disease. Undoubtedly, there are physiological and psychological issues that need to be taken care of and remediated. Yes. But the hallmarks of the disease of addiction, those feelings of despair and isolation and whatnot, are part of one's spiritual condition. So if we acknowledge that, mm-hmm. what is the systemic response of our church to the 40 million people who are in active addiction and their loved ones? Let's say everybody has like 3 of them. That puts it at Allison, 120 million people that wake up every morning with anxiety or anxiousness, either over their own addiction or yeah. their loved ones or somebody that they care deeply about. That's 1/3 of the population. I said,
That's a staggering number.
Staggering.
Staggering. Holy moly.
Holy moly is right. And I say, so what is our, like, what is the church, capital C, all of us, what are we doing acknowledging this spiritual disease? And the answer was not much systemically. There were individual parishes that had a recovery ministry or allowed AA or NA meetings in their basements, but we didn't have a response because we didn't understand this disease.
Right.
It's a very different kind of disease. So I wound up writing a curriculum, 218-page curriculum, academically certified through Seton Hall University, that is offered continually through their continuing ed and professional services department.
And what is that called, Keaton?
It's called the I Thirst Spiritual Companionship Training. It's the apostolate of the ear. It's how can we go back into our faith communities, mm-hmm. into our yep. schools, into our parishes, into our hospital chaplaincies, into correctional facilities, treatment facilities, Native American reservations, and how can we be the person to offer spiritual consolation and recovery resource information? To date, Allison, we have trained hundreds of people that are now working actively from Ireland, Dublin, Ireland, to Pago Pago in American Samoa, and now in 24 different states, people that are have a knowledge of this. Awesome. And I just had something beautiful happen. We have partnered with Catholic Extension, which serves mission dioceses, those supports them, those dioceses that don't have a lot.
Yeah.
And I got a message from somebody out in South Dakota where I'm going to be teaching a group of folks. And they said, there's no treatment centers. There's like two of them within miles and miles. How lucky we are now that the church will be able to train people to go back into our communities. So that's what we've done. And the Road to Hope was born out of that, because not everybody's going to be able to take that course, but everybody right. is able to read a book that helps explain what the church's role can be and what the church's obligation mm-hmm. is, how we can amplify the church's voice in great societal maladies.
That's incredible. So the website is ithirstinitiative.org.
Correct.
And the book is The Road to Hope, Responding to the Crisis of Addiction, our Sunday visitor. Can you tell us just a little bit about what we might find in that book?
Sure. We're going to find some, we're going to understand the disease of addiction better as a disease of mind, body, and spirit. And we're going to get some practical ways that we, on a daily basis, can do things within our faith communities to respond to this, whether that be even teaching people how to change their hearts and minds, because that's where it must start, right? So that we are able to welcome people back to the faith. You and I have spoken about Mother Olga up there in Boston, yes. the Archdiocese.
Love her.
She's a tremendous influence on me and on this work. She helped us through with her sisters, the Daughters of Mary of Nazareth, pilot this very program in the Archdiocese of Boston, from which the book was driven. One of the things she said to me was that she was so upset that people were not affording their children who had passed away from overdose the rite of Christian burial. We want to change people's hearts wow. and minds and welcome them home into our faith community. The Road to Hope gives us step-by-step solutions in order to do that, understanding, reflection questions, ways to change our hearts, our minds, ways to save lives.
So why do you think there's such a stigma? Do you think there's a fear of allowing somebody into your church or to your life? Why there's such a horrible stigma?
Yeah, sure.
People who are suffering from a disease, like
right.
a disease of addiction.
Well, and I think, yeah, please.
But if somebody has cancer, another disease,
right.
I don't, you know, shun them. I think of all the ways, can I send them soup? Like, how right. can I help them, right?
Right, 100%.
But why do you think that this is so perceived so vastly different?
Because the assumption by many, and it's an incorrect assumption, is that people are making a choice yeah. to live this kind of lifestyle. And so if you've done this to yourself, then I'm not going to help you. Right. And in fact, I detail in the book a story about a parish that I visited, and a very nice priest that gave a beautiful homily. And I went up to him. I was excited. I was new in the work. And I said, Father, do you have something that works with those who are addicted? And he said, oh, no. Oh, no. He said, you know, those are people of moral failings. They have what? It's the truth. And this was only about, you know, 8 or 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I said to him, isn't that our gig anyway?
Right.
I mean, I don't get it. Like, if they're going down that wrong moral path, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we, like Christ, supposed to find that one sheep that left the 99? Isn't that our responsibility? Of course, I wasn't as fervent with him. I was very deferential. But this is what grew out of it, was my, you know, my zeal for saying, wait a second, this is what Christ calls us to do. Amen. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, he's talking about, and he says, who is this man's neighbor? The one that's not afraid to get bloody or dirty. The one that shows him mercy. And Christ himself says, go do likewise. It's Christ's marching orders to us. Yeah. So I think that what people misunderstand is that as Catholics, let's say it's a bad choice, Allison. Let's say somebody's made some really bad choices. Those choices, we've got to look as Catholics, what is the pain at the root of that choice? Right.
Exactly. Why does somebody
choose a lifestyle where they take themselves away, disenfranchise themselves from everything that's important in their lives? There must be such pain at that root, whether it's trauma, abuse, just trying to fit in. You know, what is that? And how can we walk with them and say, you know, you're broken. I've been broken too. How can we start seeing ourselves in their brokenness and the face of Christ in theirs? When we see both of those things, that's when we truly can walk with people and accompany them out of this disease.
And to offer them a new road. Like, we know that the devil's a big fat liar.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just, and temptation always looks good, because if it didn't look good, why would it be tempting? And that he prowls the world looking for souls to devour. So what more is in a vulnerable soul that is hurting, that feels bad about themselves, who's been hurt? And I mean, there's so many different roads to addiction. Like, there's
so many.
It's so vast, and I don't think people are completely understand. I mean, there's this whole new thing that's emerging, that the opiates are often started as given by a doctor.
Yeah.
In response to recovering from an operation. And they fall into addiction quite by accident and not of their own accord.
That's right.
We have people who have been physically and mentally and emotionally abused who don't see another option. That's so right. I absolutely love, Keaton, the work that you're doing, that iThirst is doing. It's iThirstinitiative.org. The book is The Road to Hope, Responding to the Crisis of Addiction, our Sunday visitor. What message would you like to leave our listeners today? About the book, about your work, just about your fervor for this, for people. Your faith is contagious. I'm getting excited.
I get all fired up.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Allison. Thanks for this opportunity. I'd like to say, to quote the words of Father Zach Zwentak, who is a wonderful resource for us, a friend. He is brilliant in studying theology of the body, which I think that we don't often understand how wide-reaching theology of the body is, and the unique human dignity, recognizing the unique human dignity of every person. And Father Zach talks about that there is no person that God does not want to spend eternity with, and that we have to look for the unique human dignity in all human beings, even those whose behaviors we find repugnant. We have to look at them and say, they are broken. Recognize our brokenness as well. And recognize that there really is, through our apostolate of the ear, being with people, being present with people, letting them know. You know, I work in treatment facilities. I go in, I do non-denominational spirituality sessions, trying to get them to find that hope. And I often say to them, what would be the one thing that if somebody might have done to you or for you that would have helped you when you were in active addiction? They said, listen to me, see me, hear me. That's what we want everybody to do. And you know what that means, Allison? That right now, every Catholic is equipped to do that.
Amen.
You don't need my training. I would love to have you there, because I'd love to have you be expert. But you have a love of God. And the greatest way that we can serve our Creator, our God, is to care for His suffering creatures, His suffering children. That's our mandate. That's our mission.
It's a beautiful work of mercy. It's a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the heart. And I love how you call it the apostolate of the ear.
Pope Francis.
The apostolate of the ear. Is that where that comes from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have never heard that before. I absolutely love it. Yeah, and I have loved this time with you.
Thank you
so much for joining
pleasure.
Us today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for spreading the word.
Well, this is an incredible work of hope. And I'm just thrilled to get this chance to spend time with you. We've been talking today with Douglas Keaton. Her new book, The Road to Hope, Responding to the Crisis of Addiction, Our Sunday Visitor. Also check out ithirstinitiative.org. Please know I will have all the links in the show notes. Thank you again, Keaton, and thank you all for listening. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.